Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehap-Up College Madness Edition. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am joined by the amazing Lita. Lita, how are you doing?
I'm so good. Given that I am in college and you're not, I'm excited to finally be more of an expert on a part of American Ninja Warrior than you are.
I think you are definitely going to be the expert of this entire podcast because I think you are way more prepared than I am. But yes, we should hear ourselves, right? That's how college things work. There's like brackets and you know more about this than I do.
College things?
Yeah, like college tournaments. Like college, what's the basketball thing? The
March Madness.
Yes, see?
Yes, seeding is what you're thinking.
It's very mad, all this stuff. Why are college people so mad?
Because we all have term papers due, and, you know, a lot of these episodes were airing while people were in finals, so maybe it was just transposed stress.
I don't know. I have plenty of projects I have to do at work. I don't know. I have to bring home the bacon.
I think American Ninja Warrior career madness would also be really interesting. It would be like Extreme Dodgeball, where it was like the accountants versus like the policemen.
That just sounds sad to me, though. Like, that just makes me depressed. I don't know. But yes, we are sorry about that. We are here to talk to you about the Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition. We haven't covered Team Ninja Warrior in any capacity before, although I think we briefly touched upon it in one of our episodes at some point. It's a pretty fun show. I like the format a lot, this competitive nature. It's not like deeply competitive in the same way that other things might be, but it's fun to see two athletes run against each other. Basically, how the format works is you take two teams of three ninjas, and you race them one at a time through, or two at a time through a course, and they compete against each other. So one person from each team will go head to head, and whoever hits the buzzer first after getting through a certain amount of obstacles wins that heat, and then they get a point. And the first two rounds are worth 1 point, third round is worth 2 points, and if it's a tie, they do a sudden death round. And the winner of that round wins it for their team. It's a pretty fun show. What do you think of Team Ninja Warrior as a whole?
Team Ninja Warrior as a whole, I really like. It's an opportunity for people who may not be ready for the real show, but have been training with a lot of the people who, you know, are legends in the show, to get out there and try the course and kind of get their face out there, especially for women, because every team has to have two men and a woman. I do kind of wish that if they wanted to, there could be an all women's team or there could be more than one woman, but it is a way to make sure that each team has at least one woman. And that means drawing from, in a lot of cases in the real show, not the College Madness isn't real, but in the not college edition of the Team Ninja Warrior show, they draw from women who haven't yet been on the show. So it's a way to get their face out there.
Yes. And unlike other reality show spinoffs, Big Brother OTT, it does stick to what it does best. It's athletes running against obstacles, and the obstacles are pretty fun. It starts with the Sonic Swing and the Ring of Fire, which are both just rope swings, as far as I can tell.
And then the Ring of Fire is not a rope. The Ring of
Fire.
Which
one is that?
The Ring of Fire is where you hold onto the ring and you slide down.
Yeah. Forgot about that one. Sonic Swing is the two ropes. Ring of Fire. So it starts off with Sonic Swing, which is basically just two ropes. It's rope swings. And then the Ring of Fire, which is a new obstacle, I believe. They hold onto a ring and then they slide down a little slider thing. And they have to make a jump in the middle because there are little lips that will stop the ring from sliding down if you don't do that jump. And then they move on to the swing jump, which is when they swing across to a cargo net. They have to climb under. Then the floating tiles, which is basically your standard agility obstacle. They have to step over these floating tiles. Then the spin cycle was in the final round. Then the pole grasper, for the most part, for all of the episodes up until the finals, where they have to grab on from pole to pole and then right up the warped wall. That is the first portion of the course. And then the second half is for the relay race. The two remaining teams, the winning teams of the episode, have to face off against each other in a relay where all three members take on a part of the course. And that back half of the course is the dueling salmon ladders, which are self-explanatory if you know anything about this show. You take a bar, you go up the rungs, and they're dueling because there's two of them, basically. Then they have to go across the globe graspers. These are just little balls that are hanging. You have to grip them and pull yourself across. Grasp them. Good call. And then the very well-named 40-foot final climb, which is...
Can you please explain what happens in the 40-foot final climb?
Basically what they do is they grab onto a rope and they climb 40 feet.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's... I mean, you talk about, like, what makes Ninja Warrior a great show, and it's just clever obstacles like that. We're just like... You wouldn't expect it, right? From a name like 40-foot final climb, you'd never expect it. So that's basically the course. It's a fun show, especially like you get to see these ninjas running the course really fast, which is something you don't get to see in the regular American Ninja Warrior for the most part, because there's nothing to really lose and they have to go really fast if they want to beat their competitor. So I enjoy this stuff. I know I've heard interviews with a lot of the ninjas who say they really enjoy it too, because it's a lot less pressure, it's a lot more fun. And they just get to go all out. And it's always, I think it's a great complementary aspect to the show as a whole.
Yeah. And also, as far as I can tell, there's no prize at all except for the world's ugliest trophy, which is just like a plain cylinder with a buzzer on top. Like, it looks very constructed in middle school art class.
It's a buzzer. If they want, they can beat all the records by just pressing their own buzzer a bunch of times.
Yes, but I think that contributes to it not being, I mean, it's competitive in a fun way and not in a cutthroat way. And that's something that we like about American Ninja Warrior. And what sours it is when it does kind of become a competition.
I don't know. You show me that buzzer and I'm going to be cutthroat and left and right.
That's why you weren't chosen for the Emerson alum team.
They were talking about, like, oh, this college only has a football stadium that holds 8,000 people. Like, they have a college football stadium? I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, what a bunch of jocks. But yeah, so I think that they're not being a big prize or anything contributes to the overall camaraderie of it. So I enjoy that.
Yes, and this is a spin-off of the spin-off, essentially. It is Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition, which is something they haven't done before. They're taking athletes that are theoretically below the age limit that that is usually in place for American Ninja Warrior, which is 21. And so for a lot of these athletes, it's their first opportunity to compete on any sort of real course. Which is really cool because I know there's a lot of talent. So they mentioned there was a ton of these people who were super fans who have like been training their whole lives and waiting until they're 21 to get on the actual show, but they get to go on this College Madness edition, which is really fun. And a lot of them were really talented. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Or people not waiting until they're 21, because we had multiple people that they were like, this person sent us an audition tape when he was 15.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
What was that? Like, I guess like... Oh, I'm going to play the long game. I'm going to send in my audition tape, even though I know I'm not going to get in, just to make an impression.
Really get on their radar. Yeah. And another cool thing that they did with this was that they made the first matchups all rivals, I guess, to an extent, because some schools like MIT don't necessarily like have a sports rival. Maybe it's like their quiz bowl rival. I don't know. But so that was really
exciting.
They're
in shade already.
That was exciting because it gets you more invested in it, because like anytime I go to Michigan, anytime Michigan is playing Ohio State in anything, I'm like, you know, putting on my war paint. So,
well, see, as somebody that doesn't know anything about college sports, it seemed very arbitrary to me. Like, like these two teams are intense rivals, and it never had any bearing on the show whatsoever. Like,
oh my God.
They didn't actually interact in any meaningful way. So it was like, I couldn't even remember which ones were supposed to be rivals and which ones weren't.
Okay. But presumably most people have a working knowledge.
For that minority of people that like sports, I'm sure it paid off.
I mean, there were some that weren't necessarily, but you know, the big ones, you know, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, UCLA, USC. It was exciting to see. Darren is just shaking his head. It was exciting to see them kind of battle it out on a different venue than we normally get to see.
Yeah, see, this is what I meant in the beginning when I said that Lita will be our expert for this episode, because she knows about every single one of these schools, and I know about basically none of them. I mean, I know of MIT because I've been there, because I live in Boston, but like other than that, Texas A&M, because there's been like 15 people from that school on Big Brother. But yeah, so
okay.
I want to know from you, Lita, what were your thoughts on each of these schools? In the pre-show, I said, I assume that you had like a strong opinion on each one of these schools. And you were like, yeah, how'd you know? And I was like, because it's you, Lita. Of course you do.
I mean, I don't necessarily have a strong opinion about each individual school, all 16 of them. But every matchup, there was someone that I wanted to win, usually for completely dumb reasons. For example, a girl that I absolutely hated in high school goes to TCU. And so I was like, they can't win because she goes there. And so some of them were very arbitrary, but some of them I do have more strong opinions on, especially those in the Big Ten. So those schools would be Maryland, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio State. And so it was really exciting for me to watch that episode.
Which ones were the ones that you hated the most?
Ohio State, obviously.
Obviously,
again,
but why?
I am a current student at the University of Michigan. So, you know, no tea, no shade at people who go to Ohio State. This is just an opinion that I kind of grew up with and have to have. So for Taryn and for people who may not know about the history of Michigan and Ohio State, it's one of the oldest rivalries in college football. These two schools absolutely hate each other. And especially this episode was kind of timely because we just had our football game that's always over Thanksgiving, and it was really, really close, and Ohio State came from behind and beat us due to some very questionable calls by the referees. So there's been a lot of bad blood, you know, for 100 years, and especially in the last month. We don't always have the most sportsmanlike rivalries, so it was nice to see a team sport where they're not, you know, super angry at each other. Felt like everyone was really good sports on the Michigan and the Ohio State side.
So much hate in the world.
I know.
Why can't we all just get along, guys? Why can't we love each other?
Buckeyes and Wolverines, we're never meant to be together. And other than that, I at the beginning was rooting for MIT because I have a few friends that go to MIT. It's one of the schools that I had mutual friends on Facebook with some of the people on the team. However, Matt and Akbar almost instantly made me root against them because it was not necessary for every single time they did something for Matt and Akbar to be like, what? They can do sports, but they are nerds. Like, they're underdogs. It just got old so, so, so quickly. And it became almost like obvious that they were going to do well because it's not like Matt and Akbar would be like, look at these idiots. They think that they can do sports and then like have them lose. Like, no, they were hyping them up to be a Cinderella story.
But it was a Cinderella story. It was beautiful.
I know, but they wouldn't have like done those voiceovers with that commentary if they were just going to immediately lose and then have them say all these mean things about how they can't do sports.
I don't know. I feel like they might have. You never know. Some of that's live recording.
Yeah, some of it, but it definitely got to be overkill for me a little bit.
I think they knew beforehand that MIT was going to be really good. Something that I think was like they did really well in the whole season was the seeding, because the way that they were that it was structured, it ended up as easily the two best teams going against each other in the finals, and that cannot be an accident. Like, they definitely had an idea that these were the two best teams going in, I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, the episodes were divided by conference mostly, so it, like all the Big Ten schools went in the same episode.
Wow. Way to ruin my conspiracy theory already.
I mean, some of it was geographic and some of it was based on historic college rivalries. But I mean, I think that the two best teams got to the end because the system allows for the best teams to go there, because you can get to the final relay without necessarily being the best team. Because if you have two people that suck and you have one amazing person, you can get to that final relay because, you know, it can be 2-0 and then your really amazing person goes, gets the 2 points and then runs for the tiebreaker. But in the relay, you know, you have to have a strong team overall, because if you fall, there's that huge time penalty. So I think the way it's designed, not always the best teams make it to the finals of the episode, but all the best teams made it to the final of the whole thing, except maybe Georgia, because I think that they got a little lucky in their episode.
Yeah, Georgia had the one guy, Doug Legg,
yeah,
who was just like amazing and completely carried their team. Like,
yeah,
anywhere they went, they were carried by Doug Legg. But
yeah, Georgia provided for some funny Akbar quotes for me because he just, two of them were cheerleaders, and Akbar just kept saying things like, who says cheerleaders don't have a strong core? It's like, no one. No one says that. Like, he just apparently, wherever Akbar is from, cheerleaders are completely disrespected as athletes because Akbar just kept being surprised that cheerleaders could do sports.
Well, he's a football player, right? So I guess as a football player, he's like, yeah, I'm better than these cheerleaders, whatever.
It seems like football players would know from a more personal perspective how athletic cheerleaders are.
Never know.
But
isn't cheerleading like more dangerous than football is because they don't have all the padding?
I guess it depends,
I read that.
But also, part of being a cheerleader isn't getting hit by 240-pound men at full force constantly.
Well, I think it's more dangerous in schools for kids.
Probably.
That's what I read.
I don't know. But cheerleaders are real, you know, competitive athletes. And Akbar just wanted to make that story that, like, we all should be surprised that cheerleaders were good at this.
Yeah, and I mean, what they like to do is they like to subvert expectations, and that's why they tried to hype up MIT as, like, the nerdy school, because then when they do so well, it's like, whoa, look at them. And I will say, watching Thomas go against Doug Legg was like, there's this Doug Legg guy who's, like, super thick and muscular, and then there's Tom over there who's this skinny glasses, like, you know, completely the opposite. It's like, as corny as that whole setup was, that was a pretty crazy matchup. Seeing the two of them side by side was like, wow, that's very visually striking. And then, of course, Thomas was the best one in the entire competition. So, all right, what school were you rooting for and why was it Michigan?
Michigan. okay. So here's the thing about the Michigan team. And, you know, maybe we can talk more about it when we get there. But I kind of knew that this was not going to be Michigan's thing. And the reason that I knew that was because the girl on the team is a close friend of a good friend of mine. So this was more than just like, oh, we have mutual friends on Facebook. Like, I know who this girl is. And I know that ROTC at Michigan, and I'm sure at every school, is something that takes up your whole time, you know, between being a full-time student and being an ROTC. You know, you can't go and train for an entirely different sport, which is what you need to do for Ninja Warrior. You have to prepare specifically for that. So I think all three of these people, because they were in ROTC, definitely had the strength and the skills, but none of them had ever specifically trained for American Ninja Warrior, as far as I know. And so I never really thought that this was going to be their thing, but I wasn't disappointed in their showing at all. I feel like they represented us well, and that they definitely had the skills. It just, you know, would require a little specific training for the sport. And that's how I feel. And we also don't have any ninja gyms in Ann Arbor, like nothing even close. So I was rooting for Michigan, but I did not have high expectations for them.
So when Michigan was eliminated, who were you rooting for then?
I guess I was rooting for Wisconsin because, well, first of all, they were obviously going to win as far as I could tell after I saw them run the first time for various reasons. But also, you know, I root within my conference pretty much always. Like, you root for someone else who's in the Big Ten. And I have good friends there. And it just seemed like they really deserved it from the beginning. They were people who didn't get lucky at all. I mean, obviously, they were undefeated. But the first time I saw them run, it's a school that I have a lot of respect for as a school already. And they seemed like they really prepared for this. And we can talk about how fair it was.
I'm trying to uncover your petty reasons for rooting for and against schools, but you're not giving me anything.
Oh, I have other petty reasons. I was rooting against UCLA because until last year, they were one spot ahead of us in the public college rankings. And I always had a bitterness towards them, but I think we passed them this year in the rankings. So I have little reasons like that for pretty much everywhere.
So when I was watching this, every time they were like, oh yeah, school pride, I was like, oh, I started rooting against them every time.
Did you start rooting against UCLA because they have the dumbest fight song I've ever heard in my entire life?
Any song, I rooted against them. Anytime they were like, yeah, I did it for my school, hand symbol, I was like, oh man, and I stopped rooting for them.
But UCLA's fight song, they count to eight and then say UCLA. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, UCLA. That's their song.
That sounds pretty run-of-the-mill to me, to be honest.
It's a terrible fight. Michigan has the best fight song in the world, and that
Oh, yeah,
gives
you
me the
seem
right
very unbiased.
It is in the Fight Song Hall of Fame, which exists. It's in Indiana. I've never been there, but I know that it exists.
You're lying to me right now. There is not a Fight Song Hall of Fame.
No, I'm not lying. It's a Fight Song Hall of Fame. I think there's only two songs in it, and it's Notre Dame and Michigan, but the museum is not the museum.
There's two songs. There's a Fight Song Hall of Fame, and there's two songs in it?
Yeah, but
point?
Notre Dame's
What's,
is only in
it. What would
be
the point if there were more than two songs in it? What is this? It's exactly what I expect from sports things. Pointlessness.
Now I feel like I'm making this up, but I'm not.
You're totally making it up. It's all in your head. Just a way to prop up your school again. Something you should have no pride in because you had nothing to do with it.
This is a thing. They tell us about it. They tell us about it on our orientation tour when you get into Michigan.
See, that's exactly what I'd expect the information to come. It's propaganda.
Okay. You've been indoctrinated. Either way, everybody knows the Michigan fight song. And so I feel like, not you, and don't even interrupt me and say that, because I know that you don't, but everybody knows it. It's very famous, and so that allows me to be the arbiter of what is a good fight song.
If you don't know the Michigan fight song, I want you to comment or tweet at us, please, and let me know that you stand with me against Fight Song Hall of Fames.
It's called Hail to the Victors. You all know it.
Don't lie and say you know it.
Now they're all going to lie and say they don't.
That's not true. They want to support sports. That's what people do. This episode, the most on focus Ninja Warrior episode of all time, podcast episode of all time, I should say. This is like the recap of the recap version of Ninja Warrior. So let's get into I'm sure there's plenty of people who like didn't watch this because they just listen to podcasts because they're cool like that. And I genuinely mean that, like people who just listen to us, like you have a fortitude that I do not have, but they're probably very lost because we haven't done a very good job of explaining what's been happening. But basically we go through four episodes. There are four team champions from four different schools. We go into the final episode. It's the University of Georgia with the aforementioned Doug Legg as the star of that team. He carried his team the whole time, basically. Then we have Team MIT, composed of Charlie Andrews, Amelia Becker, and Thomas Cabrera. Thomas was awesome. He was my favorite of the whole thing. He was just so cool. He had the fastest time of anyone. I really would have liked to see him go up against Zach, who we will talk about later.
All of MIT, were all three of them sponsored rock climbers, or was it just two of them?
I think Thomas was not a rock climber. I think he was a Ninja Warrior fan. I think that's all he was. But yes, Charlie was a friend of Josh Levin's, who was there supporting Team MIT. Then we had Team UCLA, which had the guy with the mustache. That's basically how I remember them. I thought their episode was probably the weakest of the season and probably the weakest team in the finals, but nothing against them.
Oh, I totally disagree. I think that they were overall stronger than Georgia.
I don't know. I feel like Doug Legg makes up for it.
Wait, but didn't UCLA have that guy... who's a blacksmith? Yes, I'm looking at my notes right now. UCLA, we always talk about people who say that their random job contributes to their success in American Ninja Warrior. And this guy is a blacksmith apprentice. And he says that that is what makes him good for American Ninja Warrior, because apparently UCLA is in the 1300s. And that's amazing that he's a blacksmith's apprentice to me.
Did they have mustaches in the 1300s?
They probably had them.
Like they wouldn't have invented them yet. Seems like a modern invention to me.
But that was just a standout person for me from UCLA. They had the mustache guy and the blacksmith.
Good to know. Then we had the University of Wisconsin, which had Andrew Philibeck, the RA ninja, I believe. Mm-hmm. Taylor Amon, who was the pole vaulter, who was very good. And Zach Kemmerer, the experienced veteran ninja warrior who has been on the show before and is 27 years old.
Yeah, okay. So here's what I was talking about when I said that I understand that it's not totally fair that Wisconsin won. So Zach Kemmerer, if you listen to our coverage of the normal season over the summer of ANW8, Taryn was a big fan of Zach Kemmerer because he's the science ninja. He's a PhD student, and this was not the only team that had a PhD student. I don't remember who else had it, but the first time I saw that someone was a PhD student, I was like, okay, this seems very unfair, because there are people who are literally 18, and you can be, you know, any age, be a PhD student. You can be in your 30s. You can be 27, an American Ninja Warrior veteran. So that I didn't think was the most fair thing in the world, but they do go to that university. They do go to that college, so... It was never specified that you had to be an undergrad. I guess I just assumed that you would have to be.
Yeah, this guy just seemed like a ringer to me. Like, like the only guy in the competition who has competed on the actual show. He's like at least 5 years older than like anybody else competing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. He's from the school, and I was happy to see him. As I said, as Lita mentioned, I was a fan of him on the actual show. But combine the fact that all of these things and the fact that like he dominated every leg that he was in and their team won undefeated, like maybe it was a mistake to include this guy. Maybe he was a little too experienced for this competition. I think it would have been better if it had been all new people. This is like throwing Jason Roy into Big Brother OTT. It's just, it's a little, he's got a little leg up, I think.
Doug leg up. but Stanford also had PhD students. That's who it was.
Okay. And well, yeah. They didn't win, so.
No, it didn't. But, and all three of Stanford were mechanical engineers. I thought that was very interesting. But obviously I'm rooting against them because they're ranked higher than Michigan.
I like how, I think it was with Thomas where they were like, he engineered himself a course at MIT. Like,
yeah, and they got like lazier and lazier as it went on. It was just like, MIT is smart. They've figured out the course. It's like, okay.
Well, that's better than they've engineered the course. Like, he engineered a course at MIT. No, he built the course. It's like basic carpentry. What are you talking about engineered? I don't understand this.
See? It was so easy to root against MIT. They
no, I was
against them.
I was rooting for them the whole time.
It's just 'cause of your hometown pride.
No, it really wasn't. I've actually, the few times I've been to MIT, I found it very strange. They had very large murals of Pokemon, and they were like very condescending because I was from Emerson, and that's an art school. So I have no love. I have no love in my heart for MIT, but I liked this team. I thought they were good. Amelia also was very impressive.
Yes.
I thought Amelia and Taylor by far were like the most impressive women, and I hope
for sure.
That we get to see them. And I also hope we get to see Charlie and Thomas and Zach and Andrew. I thought they were all pretty amazing.
Yeah, and Taylor, who is the girl, the pole vaulter from Wisconsin, did this all with like a full face of makeup, and I was like,
right?
Well, you get it. You do it.
Right? I mean, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean...
Like, do you? I would never be able to do that.
She killed it.
And she's like 5'8", 5'7". It's extremely beautiful. Anyway.
If only she was a scientist. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if only. Well, we don't know her major. We probably do, but I don't.
Yeah, so basically, in this finals episode, it comes down to MIT versus Wisconsin, and very, very close finish. I liked MIT's strategy of putting Thomas first. He steamed through that first part of the course, and they had a huge lead going into the finals. But Zach Kemmerer, the ringer, he manages to make up all the time and beat Charlie by, what was it, like 9/10 of a second or something?
Yeah, something crazy like that. And Akbar is very insistent that it's got to be the cheese.
Yes, it's the cheese. The cheese, they've got something in the cheese, and it's steroids. They've got steroids in the cheese.
Hashtag steroid cheese.
They're the cheaters. They're the cheesers, right? Like, they got the ringer, they got the steroids.
Cheese
throwing out accusations left.
Cheat heads.
Yeah.
Akbar consistently talking about cheese just communicates to me that he knows one thing about Wisconsin. Like, he's heard of them once. Also, it was 9/100 of a second.
Right. That's what I meant to say. Totally.
Uh-huh. And when it happens, Akbar just goes, sha, yes. Nah, nah.
Sha, nah, nah.
Like, he has really tried to make that a thing. And then he says, I couldn't have imagined a closer run, even though one happened like immediately before, where it was like 1/100 of a second.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, was that?
I believe that was Charlie versus
UCLA.
Carter? Was it Carter or James? Which one had the mustache? It was Charlie versus the mustache.
Yeah. Okay. It's my favorite Roald Dahl book.
But yeah, so ultimately Wisconsin comes away with the victory. Undefeated, not a single loss in their entire run this season. MIT came very close to that. As we mentioned, they lost by 1/100 of a second, and they lost by 9/100 of a second. So MIT very nearly undefeated as well. But yeah, that's Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I liked seeing new faces. I liked the format, even though I didn't care about the colleges or the sports or the rivalries or anything like that. It was nice to have some sort of grouping, because when it's personality driven, it's like, oh, I like this person, but I don't know the other two people. But this was like, oh, it's Team MIT, and they've got some characters on Team MIT. It was MIT first, and then the people. And I feel like that works better for this kind of format, at least for me. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I like that as well. And I also like, I mean, there's a couple of things that made this work for me. One of them was that you get to see a larger range of athletic backgrounds, I feel like. I mean, you definitely see that on American Ninja Warrior. You have your odd ultimate frisbee person or whatever. But here we really got, you know, the girl from, I believe, Georgia does silks, which is something that is an incredibly difficult thing to do and makes you super athletic, but you don't necessarily see represented because it's not that common. And she was a dance major, just kind of all these different things that you might not get to see on the real competition, because most of them are rock climbers and pole vaulters, that kind of thing. And I also liked that, you know, with most sports, you see who's really a star in college and then they go to be a star in the NBA or the NFL or whatever. And you can kind of have your eye on people before they're at the professional level. And here we got, you know, that same thing that you get with football or basketball or whatever it is, where we can look at someone and say like, wow, that guy's going to be a real star when he's on the show.
Yeah, it's like the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Or, right. Like, isn't that what they are?
Yeah. Or just like the college, you know, you can look at the quarterback of a college football team and have your eye on them for when they'll be a professional quarterback. But there was the guy, I'm trying to find it, from, I think, one of the Texas schools, Mathis Owaldi, who was 18, and he was just completely incredible. And he trains with Sam San and Daniel Gill and all these things. And he's someone that, you know, when we see him on the show in a couple of years, it's like, oh, like, I already have a background knowledge of who this person is.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a really cool thing. I wish they would just let these people on the actual course. But yeah, it's definitely cool to get a preview, essentially, of some of the up and coming rookies, I guess. Can you even call them rookies? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
If they come on. You know, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched, even though you're spoiled now, I think it's worth a shot. I think you should check it out. If not only for the final episode, because there were some really close runs and there were some really good teams. So, yeah, I think it was pretty fun.
Yeah. And also, I mean, there's just such an emotional connection when you go to one of these schools. And a lot of these were really huge schools. So I imagine a lot of people watching had attended one or know someone who attended one. But I mean, when I was watching even just like the packages for the Michigan people, the pull-up bars that they were on were right outside of my freshman dorm, like literally right outside of it. And it was just like seeing that and seeing it represented on this show that I love so much, like, made me really emotional, even though we lost to Ohio State, but then Ohio State immediately lost. So it's fine. There's just a connection there that you don't necessarily have when you watch the real show.
Yeah, when I saw the package about Emerson, we saw a bunch of like people playing Quidditch. It just really brought me back to my college days. It's really emotional for me. Don't laugh.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's College Madness Edition. I do think it's worth a shot. You should check it out. But there is some other news in the Ninja Warrior world. First, something else we might be podcasting about in the future, in the near future, potentially. USA versus the world, the special. I saw on Reddit, I don't think there's been an official announcement yet, but I did see on Reddit, Sean McCall in an AMA said, quote, "There's another one coming out in January, I believe." So there you go. Potentially, there could be a USA versus the world special coming out in January, which would be a lot of fun.
So you're hearing that from us like third hand, so don't necessarily trust us.
I'm reporting on a Reddit comment that Sean McCall probably made, and he is probably reporting from some dude that told him that was like an intern. I don't know. But yeah, breaking news. Another cool thing that you may not know about, the Wolfpack Ninja Tour. The Wolfpacks, we've had Noah Kaufman and Ian Dory on this very podcast, and they are doing this really cool thing. They're setting up an obstacle course themselves. They're doing this big event. They're going to have a competition where amateurs, children, and pros can compete. They've got, like, I think, what, like over $30,000 in prize money. It seems really cool. There's going to be a bunch of stars from the show there. Jeff Britton, Jesse Graff, Joe Morovsky, obviously all of the Wolfpack, Ryan Stratus, all these guys, Flip Rodriguez. Tons of people are going to be there. I thought about going myself. It seems like a really cool thing, but it is all the way in Denver. So if you're not near Denver, then maybe it's a bit of a trip, but you should definitely check this out. It seems like it would be really cool, especially if you like want to try these obstacles. Like, you can go to a ninja gym and try the obstacles, but it's not the same. It's not a competition. There's nobody watching. You're not going to meet all these cool people. So definitely check this out. You can go to wolfpackninjas.com to see anything about this. So yeah, do you have any thoughts on the Wolfpack Ninja Tour?
I hope that they announce the dates for it to actually be a tour, which I think that they're planning on doing. For now, it's just a thing in Denver, but I will definitely go if they come anywhere, Midwest or East Coast, because this sounds really cool. And they don't have ninja gyms near either of the places that I live at all. So I would really like to try some of these and embarrass myself in a public fashion.
Yes, I should mention it is April 29th and 30th that they're doing this. And you can buy spectator tickets for just $30. So it's worth checking out. That's all I'm saying.
But if you're planning on attending my college graduation, just know that they're on the same day.
Oh, man, that really puts a wrench in things.
Yep.
In other news, our own Matt Eisman is going to be on The Celebrity Apprentice. It premieres soon. Hopefully he lasts more than one episode, because otherwise I'll only be watching one episode. Celebrity Apprentice, big news nowadays for all the wrong reasons. But that should be interesting. See Matt Eisman on Celebrity Apprentice. Seems like we'll probably get some Ninja Warrior references here and there. I will probably be watching just to see how Matt does. Hopefully he represents us A&W people well.
And there's a podcast about it here on RHAP with Rob Sesternino and Mike Bloom.
Yeah, love Mike Bloom. Yes. And Rob.
So
Rob's okay.
Definitely tune into that, even if you don't watch the show.
And we also have some questions. I asked for some questions about 2 minutes before we started recording. And luckily, old reliable Alex Moran. Alex Moran. He's the real old reliable. Asked some questions. First, do you think 16 colleges was a good number of teams to have for this inaugural season of the college edition? What do you think, Lita?
Yeah, I think it was, because it's four per episode. And, you know, each team plays at least two teams. And I feel like that ensured that there weren't really a lot of flukes. And also it kind of mimics the historical importance of a Final Four in college sports. So I think, yeah, it worked for me. And again, that they were able to, in most instances, pair rivalries based on geography and history and stuff like that. What do you think?
Yeah, it seems like the right number. I think that any more and it would have seemed like we didn't get enough chance to get to know the athletes. And any less would have seemed like the pace was too slow. So mm-hmm. I thought it was good. And I liked having only five episodes. It was really quick to just binge through it.
Yeah, and 1 hour episodes too was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
we're used to these really long chunks of American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, it's no 13 episode season of 2 hours each. Very nice and bite-sized. another question from Alex Moran. Do you like the current Team Ninja Warrior format? It seems like the first round exists just to have more races.
That's maybe fair. But I think it's a good format. I don't love that you can get to the final relay with only having one good person, like I've talked about with that last round being 2 points. But, you know, it works itself out, because the relay, you have to have a consistent team. So I think it's okay.
Yeah, that's sort of how I felt. And like, I don't know what the solution is, because you can't have the round is over after two rounds, because they can't catch up.
Right.
Because that doesn't make sense. But at the same time, it's just like maybe the person that wins the 2 point round can't go again in the final matchup.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Like, because having one guy carry your team, it's not as fun to watch, I think.
Yeah.
But I do think that having the first round not be an elimination round, I like that actually, because it does kind of make it more likely that the two best teams are going to be in the finals, because mm-hmm. the two losing teams, it basically pairs the losing teams up against the better teams, so that the two better teams theoretically will prevail, and then also sets you up for, you know, upsets, which I think in general is great. Because in the first round, we're still getting to know them. They're seeding themselves essentially. And then by the second round, we're like really rooting for a specific team to beat the other team. And then we get ideally the best two teams in the final. So I do actually like the format and how it's set up.
Yeah. And I was more down on it before. Of course, I cannot find what the actual matchup was, but there was a matchup where it was 2-0 and then the third person for one team won. And they were going to the relay, and I was like, this relay is always so pointless because the same two people always run. It was the two people who were in the 2-point round, and the same person always wins. But we did have one upset where two people went against each other two times in a row, and it was a different winner. So yeah. It does set you up for some, you know, really exciting upsets like that.
Yeah, definitely. The only problem is, like, if there's somebody that's just unbeatable, mm-hmm. they just need a better team.
Perhaps if they were on American Ninja Warrior, for example.
Well, he had a better team, so.
Yeah, but I have nothing but love for the Badgers themselves, so that's why I was rooting for them.
Sure. last question from Alex Moran. With how well most of the college ninjas did, do you foresee ANW at some point lowering the minimum age to compete from 21 to 18? You're already shaking your head no.
No, because I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, whether they're ready for the competition or whatever, and everything to do with sending a bunch of 18-year-olds to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I imagine it's just legal liability stuff, and yeah. they don't want to bother with it because they have plenty of other people who are willing to do it.
Yeah, I mean, when you get an underage person on Survivor, Jeff Probst has to mention a million times that they can't drink alcohol. So I cannot imagine providing a free trip to Vegas for a bunch of underage kids.
I think they're missing out, though, personally. I mean, they love their underdog stories. They love the really old people. They love, you know, the women. I think you get children on there, you're gonna have plenty of children's stories.
Yeah, but so You Think You Can Dance just did a season with children, and it was the first season in history that I was not able to watch because it was too annoying.
Well, that's like a reality show, isn't it? Do they have like behind the scenes training stuff?
A little bit, but I mean, it's also a competition show. It's just that dance is subjective, and also America votes on the winner. So, oh. And I know how much you love that.
It's my favorite thing, Lita. It leads to such wonderful, harmonious attitudes.
Well, if they want an underdog story, instead of going younger, maybe they should just have like a senior American Ninja Warrior.
No, it's just let everyone compete. Just let everyone, you know, do their thing. That's what Sasuke does. And
yes, which I am now familiar with.
Yeah, there you go. That's some other breaking news. Lita finally watched. Did you finish it, or how far are you?
God, no. I have seen the first three tournaments. Because I was really, really, really sick a couple weeks ago. And it was the first time in a really long time that I had just hours and hours to kill. And so I watched like all of it, all of the first three in like the same day. But then I had to go back to my life and being a student. But now I'm at least, I have some working knowledge of it.
Yeah, you've seen the very early, like really poorly put together first couple of tournaments.
Yeah, they look like MXC. It's amazing.
Well, I hope you eventually get to continue and see some of the better seasons.
Yes, I will.
Yes, and I believe you have also curated some reviews and some comments that we can read.
Yes. Thank you to those of us who have left reviews
those
ever
of us?
And also what?
Have you left reviews? Are you saying you're a Joey Rodriguez right now?
My God, Lita exposed party. No, I have honest reviews only. I would never do that. But thank you to those of you. Oh my
you
God.
You almost said it again.
You made me do.
Oh man, I'm checking for weirdly spaced exclamation marks in all of your tweets
now. Oh my God. Okay, to those of you who have left us reviews since the last time we were on air and also ever, we love you. Thank you. So we got one this week, which I don't know what led this person to just discover us, but I'm really glad about it. So this is from Game Raider X. They say, I'm surprised I didn't find this earlier. I've listened to the Wolfpack and Armchair Ninja podcast since they started and have been a fan of ANW since the Sasuke days, like 2006 even. Though it's been forever since the episodes aired, I legitimately just binged through all these podcast episodes just due to the chemistry and fun Taryn and Lita have and how their jokes continually got drier and drier as the season went on. I hope you come back for season 9 or even do an overall review of Team Ninja. Thanks for the laughs. Well, our jokes do get drier in that we kind of go off the rails and they just dry up all of their humor so they're not funny anymore. In that way, I agree with.
I think saying we have dry humor is like the polite way of saying that we're completely unfunny, but I appreciate the attempt.
Yes. So thank you so much. We are very happy that you joined us. Should we do one more since we've been off the air for so long?
Yeah. Let's get some more. And if you wanna like submit a review or leave a comment, just give us some stuff and we'll read it on the show and we'll like make fun of us ourselves and you and everybody. It'll be great.
Yeah, because you know what else are we doing? It's the first night of Hanukkah. Things haven't really ramped up yet.
Just chilling.
So this is from Podcasting Addict. They say, Taryn and Lita had their work cut out for them reporting on a show that's essentially an incredibly repetitive hour of television, yet they're both informative and funny with an ease between them that makes this podcast a really enjoyable addition to my playlist. I know Taryn is a Big Brother correspondent on other RHAP shows, but his role here is entirely different, and he shows he can also create a clear and entertaining narrative as a host. I'd listen to anything these two choose to do together in the future. So usually we have a really clear narrative of the show. We decided to
proving
throw
the reviews
that
wrong.
This podcast.
We're subverting expectations. It's just like the MIT team. Like we know how to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going off the rails so that we can really pull it together in the next podcast.
Should our next podcast be like how to beat Rubik's cubes? Would that be good? Because she said she'd listen to anything we did. I'm just trying to come up with the most benign thing. I don't know. I could look it up.
I thought you were going to tell me you knew how to do a Rubik's cube. That would be
no, of course
fact.
Not. Like I don't like this notion that people who know how to beat a Rubik's cube are they're like, oh, they're super smart. Like, no, if you know how to beat a Rubik's cube, it just means that you wasted a bunch of time figuring out how to do this pointless thing. I don't think that's smart. I think I'm smart for not knowing how to beat a Rubik's cube. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Bold stance against Taryn has no opinion about any college or college sports, but get him started on like 90s toys and just goes off.
90s toy? I feel like they're older than that, right?
I don't know. Are you going to insult Etch-a-Sketch fans next?
Oh, those are the worst.
Oh my God.
Hated those. Wow. They required way too much creativity.
Oh my God. You don't like sports or the arts, Taryn. It's really offensive.
Okay. I am really good at comment finding. So you were finding some comments and reviews, so I decided I would try and find some too. And I found one from 3 months ago. This was for our episode 12 recap. The comment was, hates ketchup? So much for Taryn being my soulmate. Broken heart.
I also hate ketchup and said so on that podcast, and now I'm just offended that I am not popular enough to have broken anyone's heart.
How did this turn into a good thing for me? I'm very proud of this comment. I'm very proud that I found it. I feel like this is a great comment. I would like more comments like this.
Yeah, Taryn really wants people to be mean to him. So go ahead, but be nice to me.
I just want to have some fun. That's all. I had to, like this person. You know, we're best friends now. We're best friends. I hate ketchup. She doesn't hate ketchup. You know, it's just
Taryn is
people
just
get over their differences.
Really in withdrawal from people constantly yelling at him about Big Brother OTT.
Yeah, pretty much.
He misses the haters.
I was overstimulated and now I'm just like, where are the people that hate me? Nobody cares anymore. That's all I could find. Lita had all these great, wonderful, glowing comments. I found the ketchup one. But yeah, we do have one more announcement. I want to start out by saying that I am basically the messiah of drafting. I have won the Rehappy Hour draft all of the times, like 3 or 4, 5 times in a row. I don't even know anymore. I've lost track. I even won the So You Think You Can podcast draft. I'm unstoppable in drafting.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
And I am here now. I feel like I've transferred. I'm getting choked up right now. It's so emotional. I feel like I've transferred some of my drafting power over to Lita. And Lita has entered into a contest. She entered into this contest for College Madness edition of Team Ninja Warrior. And tell us the story, Lita.
Okay. So about a month ago, the official Ninja Warrior Twitter account tweeted out the sweepstakes where you predict the top four of the College Madness. This was before the first episode even aired. And you predict the winner. And if you get it right, you'll be entered to win a free trip to Vegas to watch the finale of the actual American Ninja Warrior proper show over the summer. So I wrote in. I really felt like I had done my research.
This is making it seem much less impressive.
They had little backgrounds on everyone. And I was like, I'm going to be the only one who did homework. And I told Taryn my entrance and told him to enter and everything. And it was so wrong. So I just didn't even think about it after the first episode. And then I got a message, from the Twitter account of American Ninja Warrior saying that no one got it right and that I was one of the finalists for that. They needed my contact information and stuff. And they called me 2 days ago and I amazingly won. and this is not a joke. This is completely real. I won a free trip for two to the Vegas finale of American Ninja Warrior over the summer in June. And as of now, the amazing Taryn Armstrong will be joining me.
Yes, I bullied her into it.
Yeah. You know, he's a dangerous person to take to the final two. But I, and so, you know, there's still a lot that can change. Nothing's set in stone. This is 6 months away. This is, you know, kind of a crazy thing to happen. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. I feel like this is too good to be true. So, you know, don't cyberbully us if something happens and we're not able to go. But yeah, I wanted to announce it to everybody because this could make for some really great podcasting because we're probably going to get to meet people and I'm just really excited about it.
Basically, what she's saying is we're so awesome and we're American Ninja Warrior experts. And so she won this competition. She was like the Zach Kemmerer of this competition. She had all of the expertise and she won it because of my magical drafting powers. And now we're going to go party in Vegas and watch the finals. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to talk about it on a podcast. And yeah, cool
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to use the whole time to get Taryn to actually Snapchat.
Maybe I'll bring a camera and document our experience.
Yes. So that is very, very exciting. And it's going to be pretty lit. And that's...
Oh, you know what we should do? We should record a podcast right after the finals and then release it after the episode airs. Like,
that's really smart.
From Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. People are getting all the background knowledge of
this is why I get the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe this is why Zach Kemmerer follows me on Twitter. Maybe he heard about my incredible abilities.
Oh, man. You thought they were going to announce this on the show, but then they didn't, right?
Yeah, so they told me that it would be announced on the finale of Team Ninja Warrior, and I was sitting there, like, trying to take notes, but also with my eyes just, like, glued to the screen. Like, and it just was not, it didn't happen, and then I, like, went back and fast-forwarded at a slow speed to see if I, like, missed it at some point. So I assumed that I had lost because I didn't hear from them until the next day. But I am very charmed, I suppose.
So if you plan on going to the Vegas finals, hit us up. We can hang out or something.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun. probably the most derailed podcast of the American Ninja Warrior podcasts.
Can it be derailed if we were never like on the track?
Probably not. I spent like 20 minutes on the call with Lita before we started this thing, like, what are we gonna talk about again? trying to write up like some sort of structure. So yes, thank you so much to anyone who listened to this. You are the best
and we're sorry.
I'm so yeah very sorry. But I'm glad you made it through. I'm glad you either watched or didn't watch Team Ninja Warrior College Madness Edition. And I hope that you enjoyed American Ninja Warrior Hap-Up College Madness Edition, because I feel like we did go mad during this episode. I understand now why everyone is so mad in college. And I feel like we've learned a lot. So do we have a hashtag?
Yes, we do. It's hashtag cheatheads, I believe.
Cheatheads.
Like cheese heads.
Oh, there
or
you go.
Was it steroid cheese? Should we do steroid cheese?
I like steroid cheese.
Okay.
Because that sounds
that's
pretty gross.
Better. So it's really gross to me. I don't eat cheese.
Oh,
or
man.
Steroids.
That's the worst. Or steroids? That's even worse.
Yeah. So no offense to any Ohio State or Wisconsin fans.
Or steroid users.
Or steroid users.
Or cheese
eaters. Or cheese
eaters. Yeah.
But like some offense from me to cheese eaters.
Unbelievable.
And all offense to ketchup eaters.
Alienating all of our listeners. You know, there's somebody right now who's putting some ketchup on cheese filled with steroids, and they're from Ohio, and they're just like, what am I even doing with my life?
The classic ketchup cheese steroid sandwich. It's a KCS.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
BLT.
I don't know why you're laughing. Like, I feel like you're just continuing to condescend to these poor cheese, ketchup, steroid eaters. And I just want to say to those people, I love you. And even though Lita hates you and doesn't want you to listen, we are not a podcast for no one. We are not Eric Stein. We do not want you to not listen. We want you to listen. So don't turn the podcast off. Only do, because it's over now.
And hashtag steroid cheese if you made it to the end of this somehow.
Yes, please tweet us. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up, and find us on robhasawebsite.com and comment on that page. Leave us some comments. We want to read them on the show and laugh about them because they make fun of us, or they call us fun things or complimentary things, and then we say that they're wrong because we're not complimentary about ourselves. Anyway, now you can turn the podcast off because we are signing out. We will see you next time.